going to continue today with our Freedom Friday segments. We have an individual in who served in the Coast Guard back in the day. Bob Boots joins us here this morning to talk a little bit about his experiences. Bob, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting me to come in.
You know, and that's the neat part about doing this is some folks might look at the service as being, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and just assume that everybody's experience is the same, but they are vastly different.
Yeah, each person has their own job to do, and there's hundreds of jobs in each of the branches of the services, just like there is in civilian life.
Well, one thing that we've noticed in visiting with some folks is that in some cases there's a real serious family history of military service, and we find that's the case with your family.
Yeah, my great uncle was in the Civil War, and my dad was in the Navy in World War I. And I had a brother that was in the Army in World War II, brother-in-law that was in the Coast Guard in World War II, and a brother-in-law that was in the Navy in World War II. So I've had a lot of family that's participated in the service.
So you kind of had no choice. You were going to have to pick one and join one, right?
Yeah.
Why the Coast Guard? Why did you settle on the Coast Guard?
Well, there's one thing that my dad had said. I don't know if it's always true or not. But he said, if you join the Navy, if you have a bed, it'll be a dry one. And I think that had a little bit of influence on. And another thing that I was getting real close to draft age. And at that time, you could either be drafted into the Marines or the Army for 2 years, or you could enlist in the Navy or the Air Force for 4 years. And I found out that you could enlist in the Coast Guard for 3 years, so I took advantage of the three-year period. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did. I had real interesting experiences and, you might say, education in the Coast Guard.
Well, and this part of the country in the Midwest, you're probably going to find fewer Coast Guard veterans than you will in some other areas of the country where they're a little bit closer to the large bodies of water around the fringe. But you get a chance to share a lot of stories and experiences and things. You started, when did you join?
Well, first I enlisted in Omaha in about the middle of January in 1952. In about 2 weeks, they told me to report there by the 15th of February. So from the time I enlisted till the time I was in, it was about 30 days.
What was your folks' reaction?
I don't know as they really reacted too much. I mean, they knew that my time was coming. I think they were kind of glad that I did enlist instead of being drafted into the Marines or Army.
Kids today sometimes don't understand that because they've lived their lives and never seen anything like a draft. But, you know, there was a chance that you could sit around and wait and maybe not determine your future, or you could kind of grab the bull by the horns and try to determine your future there.
Yeah, you could take advantage of some of the opportunities that were available.
Can you talk a little bit about your Coast Guard experience and as far as, like, training and stuff? What did they do for basic training?
Well, to start off with, after I enlisted in Omaha, I had to meet out there, and I think there was five of us went from there to ended up in Government Island in Alameda, California, and that was a Coast Guard training station. So there we did, just the basic training. Of course, you have your physical things that you do, and then they give you several classes on ships and things like that. And then after the basic training was over, they give you an opportunity to take specialized training. And I didn't really know what it was, but I put down for damage control. And that kind of pertains to a little bit of carpentering, a little bit of sheet metal work, a little bit of plumbing, a little bit of carpentry, and that type of things. Mm-hmm. And I was selected to go to Groton, Connecticut, to a training school, and that's close to New London, Connecticut. There was another about 16 weeks of training there for damage control. And from there, they ask you what area you would like to go to. Well, I was in the Midwest, so I put down Area 2, which is in the Midwest section of the country. Well, there's not very many Coast Guard in this part of the country, so I didn't get that.
Sure.
Well, they ended up sending me right back to Alameda, California, where I took my basic training, very same place. Mm-hmm. I was there for about, a couple weeks, and then they finally got me a permanent station. That was at a naval ammunition depot in Port Chicago, California. And that was an ammunition depot in the northern part of the San Francisco Bay area, clear up about as far north as you could get. And our main jobs there was to the loading of ammunition on merchant marine ships. So I was on that for about, I think around 14 months. And then I was transferred to a cutter, it's called the Balsam, which is a combination icebreaker and buoy tender. And that was kind of interesting, that seeing getting on there. I've never been on a ship before, so I didn't have any idea what to expect. So I went out underneath the Oakland Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate, and the damage control is associated with the engineering department. So I'd be down in the engine room, and, oh, it's hot down there, and I'd start seeing double. So I'd go up on the main deck there, and I'd walk down these two hallways I was seeing, go out in the open air, and it'd clear up immediately. Mm-hmm. And that happened about three times. And third time it happened, well, I had to go by the hospital corpsman's cubicle to each time. So I told him what was happening, and he gave me a pill of some kind, and it must have been a good one, because I lacked one day of being on that ship for a year, and I was never sick on it after that. So,
how long does it take an Iowa kid to get his sea, to get his sea legs once he joins the Coast Guard?
I think just about as long as it would anybody else, because actually you do get sea legs. And you always talk about the drunken sailor when he gets off the ship. You're walking on solid ground like you would be walking on a ship, and the ground isn't giving where you expect it to give, and you do kind of wobble around when you hit solid ground.
Bob, do you find that there's a lot of, that there's some misunderstanding or just some not getting it at all about what exactly the Coast Guard does? It serves its purpose, mm-hmm. but it serves it closer to home sometimes in wartime especially than do mm-hmm. some of the other branches mm-hmm. where they're, you know, in more forward positions.
Well, there's a lot of it is port security. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was in the Naval Ammunition Depot for that 14 months, and that was the loading of ammunition on merchant marine ships. Mm-hmm. But on the ship that I was on, its basic duty was to service lighthouses and a lightship and port security and air sea rescue. Was on that continuously mm-hmm. and different things like that. But there was a lighthouse called St. George's Reef Lighthouse. It was off the coast of California and Oregon. It was just on a big lighthouse sitting on a rock out in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And we had to service it every 2 weeks. And there were six guys attached or stationed on that, you might say that rock. Mm-hmm. And we'd take two guys up, and they would be there for 4 weeks. And then they would bring back two. So they had a period of 4 weeks on that at that lighthouse station and 2 weeks on a shore station.
It's a different life.
That was always interesting. And then there was a light ship that was anchored out over a submerged rock. Mm-hmm. And on that, we had to service it about every 3 weeks. And there, I think we took seven guys out and then would bring seven guys back every 3 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot of work to be done, and it's a lot of travel sometimes, even in a short period of time, in a short mm-hmm. space, you're out and doing an awful lot there. Did you make mm-hmm. a lot of friends? Because it seems like you were confined, you know, a lot of times to small areas. Did you make friends that way?
Oh, yeah, you get to know certain people. There's a lot of them that you got real more acquainted with than other people, but, for instance, one of my main jobs on there was every time that we went into port or out of port or got into some rough water, nasty water, close to rocks or things like that. There's a first-class boatswain mate and myself that were what they called anchor detail. And their job was always to go up on the bow of the ship and get the anchor ready to drop in case there's a problem of some kind. So we could drop the anchor if we'd have to.
Sure, sure. Overall, looking back, good experience for you?
It was a great experience. It seemed like the time goes so slow sometimes, but when you're busy, why, the time goes real fast. Mm-hmm. It's a great experience.
Oh, sure, life-changing. You wouldn't be the person you are today without that type of training and experience. Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Well, I appreciate you coming in here today and sharing with us. And I know you're still active in a lot of things with the local veterans groups and things. That's also very important to you.
Yeah, the veterans organizations are what keeps the public aware of military services.
It's interesting to hear the family history too. Yeah. It's really interesting to hear those stories, and some families just can't seem to get it out of their blood.
You know, once you live that way, that part of your life, you never forget it. And a lot of the things that are interesting, you enjoy telling people, and then of course there's some things that you kind of keep hidden.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone has stories. Some of them they share, some of them maybe not, but they're all different. That's what makes it really fun to talk about, too. Well, again, thank you very much, and we salute you for your service, too.
Well, I thank you, Jim.